with me. Oh, I'm mount up with wings like eagles. Not grow weary when I run. When I won't grow faint. Yes, I will renew my strength. Because I wait on the Lord. Oh, I'm mount up with wings like eagles. Not grow weary. Not grow weary when I run. When I walk, I won't grow faint. Yes, I will renew my strength because I wait. We're gonna sing the chorus. Oh, I will wait.
I will wait.
I will wait.
I will wait.
Oh, Jesus.
Jesus, you are my strength and you are my hope. You are my strength, and you.
Amen. Thank God for
the amazing. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Let's see all the that are coming out of this house. Thank God for his faithfulness. Father, we are thankful that we can wait on you. You're a God who will never leave us nor forsake us. We rest in your goodness. We rest in your peace. We rest, O God, in all that you have for us. And we thank you, Father, for the sufficiency that is in you. We embrace that, and we are fully fulfilled and satisfied in you. Father, we thank you that this day that you've made for us to rejoice and be glad is a day that we truly will rejoice and be glad. We celebrate all of your dealings on this day, all around the world, right here in our city, in our province, in our country, in our continent, and in our world. We see your hand. Lord, O God, move things into proper order and cause your people to celebrate in the streets, in their homes, in the churches, in the marketplace, the goodness of the Lord. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It's good to see you all. We're out with the saints in Toronto last weekend, and we had a wonderful time there. And so good to be back here also. It's, as we said, it's that time when we will be out, not just here, but in different parts of the world, and we trust God for his provisions to make that possible. Next Sunday, this Sunday coming, is Mission Sunday, and I pray that each one of us will ready ourselves to support the work of missions. Amen? Hallelujah. Well, we're in the book of Colossians, the third chapter. We've been in this chapter for, I guess, 3 weeks now. We made very little movement the first 2 weeks because we're stuck in the very first verse and on a particular word in the first verse. And I'm not going to try to do that again because I know I'm going to get stuck there, but let me just give a real quick recap. The word of the Lord to us in Colossians chapter 3 is rather interesting. I think in real terms that this chapter, Colossians chapter 3, is one of the most important chapters in the New Testament. It's not readily obvious, but as you listen to the directives and guidance of the Holy Spirit, as he unfolds the word, you begin to see that this is a verse or a chapter that captures the full essence of what the Lord came to do and wants to continue to do in our lives. So it says, if you then be risen with Christ, verse 1, and as I said, shared with us, the word is the word synagero, and it's like a root word for the word synergy. And what the Lord is saying is, if we are connected with him, if this has really happened, then there's got to be the impact of that synergy. And synergy is that which happens when two people or a group come together and they produce exponentially an impact that is greater than the sum of their individual productivity. So if the word says one shall chase a thousand and two 10,000, you know, that's synergy. It's giving you a greater result than what one person. If one can chase a thousand and one can chase a thousand, if you add it, what they should really be able to chase is 2,000. But when synergy comes into play, then of course you have the 10,000 impact. Now, God is saying to us, right here in the book of Colossians, if you really have reason with Christ, then there's got to be synergy, there's got to be a higher productivity. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ said, you will do greater, you are going to do the same works that I do, and greater works shall you do, because I go to be with the Father. I go to be with the Father because I am reason. And if you rose with me, then there's got to be synergy. Now, the question then is, why aren't we experiencing synergy? Why aren't we experiencing that impact? And it begins to tell us why. First of all, we're not seeking those things which are above. We're Christ seated at the right hand of God. Because if we were heavenly minded, seeking the things which are above, just like Jesus did, for he said, I do nothing except what I see the Father doing, then we will get a greater impact and a greater result. So the question then is, why aren't we seeking that? Why aren't we setting our affection on things above and not on the things on the earth? So we explored the word phroneo, which means to exercise our mind, our affection. It is not just a matter of looking, it's a matter of exercising our minds on meditating on things which are above. If I were to ask myself today, and if I were to ask you, how much of what God is doing in the heavenlies where you connected to today? Did you and I hear from God on what his agenda was for today? What does he want to do? What does he want to accomplish? And how do I cooperate in synergy with him to get that result? Because God will do nothing, it says in Amos 3:7, God will do nothing in the earth except that he first reveals his secrets to his prophets, his servants, the prophets. God does nothing except through the prophetic connecting with him. The Lord Jesus Christ told us, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. But if I don't know what is in heaven, how can I download it? So we need to be very heavenly minded. Now, how we accomplish that is, though we work in very secular settings, recognizing what God's will is in that secular setting. Because God, you know, for us, we have two dimensions that we reflect on. One dimension is the natural, and the other is supernatural. Yeah? But for God, God only has one dimension. It's natural. Because what's supernatural to us is natural to him. And he says, by the promises he's given to us, he wants to make us partakers of his divine nature. In other words, cause us to come into that synergic realm where the supernatural becomes natural to us. Yeah, interesting. But that's not what we generally do as believers. We've not been trained to do that. We've not been taught to do that. We've not heard much about that. And so we've not reflected that particular dimension. We're very natural minded in terms of the natural. But one of the things that we've got to understand is that the natural is also spiritual. Because everything is spiritual. So basically, what we are living by is a suppressed level of this spiritual, because through natural living is spiritual living. That might take a while. When God created us, He created us out of Himself. And God is spiritual. So everything that came out of God came out of that spiritual realm. The words that I speak unto you, they are what? Spirit, and they are what? Life. So everything that God created by the word is spiritual. But we live in below what our natural, which is spiritual, is. Because God intended for the only dimension that I operate in, that it be spiritual. The natural for me is supposed to be the natural for Him, which is because He created us in His image and in His what? Likeness. And His likeness is spiritual, supernatural. Praise the Lord. I knew if I started again, I'm not going to get still in the same place. Hallelujah. It's so deep. There's so much in here. So what do we need to do to flow in that realm? Verse 5 tells us, mortify therefore your members. That tendency that wants you to be stuck with stuff like fornication, being in synergy with somebody that you are not married to. Yeah? And porneia, pornography. Jesus, our Lord, said, remember His words, if you lust after a woman in your heart, you've already committed the act of adultery. Because it's a spiritual thing. He says, deal with uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which thing's sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. We talked about that. I'm trying to move this, you know, so I don't get stuck in the verses. So if you want to know more about all of those, you can listen to the message prior. Then it says, in the which ye also walked some time when you lived in them. You used to be that. So stop being what you used to be and be what you ought to be by becoming one who is risen with Christ and experiencing the God kind of life. Stop thinking about yourself and defining yourself by natural, carnal, let me put it that way, carnal thinking. He says, but now ye also put off all these. Put these off. Put off anger. Put off wrath. Put off malice. Put off blasphemy. Put off filthy communication out of your mouth. Wow. You know, the problem is we have teachers of the word, pastors, evangelists, that twist the word of God out of place and make it look like God doesn't care about these things. Make it look like God doesn't care about you and I living in sin. It's okay. God doesn't care about that anymore. It's all grace. But God's word says, listen, I raised you up. You died to sin. You are raised up. Don't live there anymore. So put away from your life. God is not going to come do it for you. He says, but now ye also put off all these. You put it off. In other words, shut it down. Mortify the deeds of the flesh. Put all these things off. Anger. Get a hold of yourself. Stop being angry about everything. The wrath of men worketh not the righteousness of God, the word of God says. So don't go into a rage of wrath. Don't go into a state of malice, bearing grudges. Don't go into a state of blasphemy. That's a very interesting word. Was blasphemy. Blasphemy in the Word of God is about speaking wrong things, evil railings, just shooting your mouth off. So everything that you see here in this realm, in one way or the other, has to do with what comes out of your mouth. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication. It's that which you've joined yourself with. It says, unjoin yourself from it. Don't allow blasphemy. Don't allow slander, injurious speeches. Don't drag God's name through the mud. Don't be a Christian, a believer, with a filthy mouth. Don't be a believer that is just throwing words around, enraged and angry all the time. That is not part of the character of God. God is a patient God. Yes, there is a time when he displays his wrath and his anger. And the word of God tells us very clearly in verse 6, for which thing's sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. But God is saying to us, let the vengeance be mine. You can't handle anger or wrath in a proper manner. Lie not one to another. Stop lying to each other, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. That tells me something right there in verse 9. The old man is a lying spirit. The old man is a liar. In the book of Revelation 21, I believe it's verse 8. Is it 21:8? Even 21:8. Tells us about those that are not going to participate in the experience of the kingdom of God. It says, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and what? All liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. God says, get rid of that. If you don't want to be somebody who experiences a second death, get rid of all of that. He says, seeing that ye have put off, You did this already. You've put off the old man with his deeds. So act differently. He says, and have put on the new man. Not only did you put off the old man, which is a lying spirit, you've put on the new man, which is renewed. Praise the Lord. The new man is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. How is this new man renewed in that knowledge? By looking at the things which are above. Because this is a life that you've never lived before. And God wants us to look at him. The Bible says, look unto the author and the finisher of our faith. We need to look unto Jesus. So this tells me something. Instead of getting angry and malicious and getting into situations of slander and blasphemy and wrath and all of that, we need to turn our face to the Lord. One of the things that I do, and without even thinking about it, is if somebody were to head in the direction of annoying me, the words that come out of my mouth is, Jesus is Lord. Consistent. It's been like that for years. Jesus is Lord. And that gets me back in line. Jesus is Lord. I remember Jesus is Lord. And so because he's Lord, he's in control of this situation. I'm not going to get off in a wrong way. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. And the word of God says, it's renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. The new man is renewed. That renewal is a consistent thing that's taking place. Praise the Lord. So as you focus on the one who created, you get revamped. There's a reset taking place. Consistently, a reset. You want to go off, 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 a reset. So that reset is bringing you deeper into that knowledge. The epignosis is the Greek word, epignosis. That's a deep knowledge and understanding, a recognition of who the Lord is. Who is your Lord? Okay, you want to get malicious, you want to get angry because somebody did something. Now, break that down. The person steals something from you, break that down. Who is your source? Who's your provider? Does he have more? And so they stole something. There's restoration available. Praise the Lord. They try to abuse you and call you names. The one who knows me best loves me most. It's not that you don't get hurt or disappointed, it's that you don't let it run your life. So you bounce out of it. And the word of God says, forgive. Yeah? So you can be forgiven. So this is an opportunity for me to have answered prayers. Praise the Lord. The Lord will fight for me. The Lord will help me. Praise God. So this is what is happening to us, you know. And it says, we are created in that image. And it says here, where there is neither Greek, so it's not your ethnicity, your race. It's neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian or Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Hallelujah. Praise God. He says, get connected to that. This is where your identity is. My identity is not that I'm black or white, African or Caucasian or Asian, Native American, European, whatever. My identity is in Christ. And he's in all of us. Amen? He says, and put on therefore as the elect of... Oh my God. Put on therefore as the elect of God. As the elect, the chosen of God. Picked out one. The eclectus. This is a word with the same root for the church, which is ecclesia. But this word eclectus means you are chosen. You're elected. You've been voted for. People are voting today here in Winnipeg. But you've been elected. You are the eclectus of God. And as the eclectus chosen of God, you're holy and beloved. Put on holy and beloved bowels of mercy. In other words, let mercy flow out of you as the elect of God. The chosen. God chose you to extend mercy. Out of those who believe in me and come to drink from me, out of their bellies shall flow rivers, streams of living water. The bowels of mercies is an expression of kindness, tender mercies, tenderness. That's what we are about. We're not called to be judgmental. We're called to find, as people who find ways to bring people into the family of God. Amen? Jesus loved people. His greatest problem were with the religious people. He loved sinners. Sinners came to him because there were bowels of mercies going towards them. I'm going to find a way to connect with you and bring you in. You need to see the love of God. And what God wants us to do is to be in that synergic state where we are reflecting his glory and causing men to turn to him because they find love, they find mercy. We're not going around with a big stick trying to club at people over the head. It says, have bowels of mercies, have kindness, have humbleness of mind. Have meekness, strength under control. Be long-suffering. And he says all of this as put on therefore. Put it on. So this is an outfit almost, like you might put it. Did you put on your mascara and your blouse or your shirt, your singlet. Put on your shoes. Well, God is looking at this all as an outfit. He's looking at it as an outfit. He's looking at it as a cosmetic. He says, put on, therefore, as the elect of God, as one chosen of God, holy and beloved bowels of mercies, put on kindness, put on humbleness of mind, put on meekness, put on long-suffering, forbearing one another. Forbearing. In essence, be patient. Give people a second chance, a third chance. Anakomai. Forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, forgive. How? Even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Forgive like Christ forgave. Wow. How did he forgive? It moved my sin far away from me, as far as the east is from the west. He is not imputing to me sin. You know, people do all kinds of crazy stuff, and our natural or subnatural, may I put it that way, thought is to hold it against them. I forgive you, but I will never forget. Because I'm not going to let you do this ever again to me. Well, God forgives us. And he forgives us. And he forgives us. And he says, forgive 70 times 7 times in a day. And guess what? He does more than that. Now, does he cherish me coming and asking for forgiveness day in, day out? No, he expects that I'll grow past that and not practice sin. For he that is born of God does not make a practice of sin. We expect people to change. But even if they have not changed, we must not hold them in that state, and in so doing, put ourselves in bondage. Because he says, God will forgive me as I forgive. If I don't forgive, I will not be forgiven. So, let it go. If you can't stand the person, get away from them. But make sure that you forgive. And next time you see them, don't start digging up whatever it is that they did before. But cast every burden and every care unto the Lord, for he cares. Amen? In verse 14 says, and above all these things, above all these things, above all these things, above all these things, he says, put on charity. Put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Put on charity. Put on the agape of God. So love is something to put on. If it's something to put on, then it is already made. You're not making it. You're just putting it on. So what is the language of faith? The language of faith says, I put on as the elect of God, holy and beloved bowels of mercy. I put it on. This is part of your armor. I put it on. I put on kindness. I put on humbleness of mind. I put on meekness. I put on long-suffering, the ability to outlast the challenges. I receive the grace to be a person who forbears and forgives. I put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Now, perfectness, teleotis, that's a very interesting word to be used here. The bond of perfectness, teleotos. It means to be complete. To be completed. Everything that you're doing, I put on love. That's like, how do I put this? You've gotten yourself dressed. You look in that mirror. You straighten your tie. You look at your shoes. You make sure the knot is perfect. Everything is right on. You check. I'm good to go. Complete. I'm fully dressed. I look like him. I am one with him. In every area, it says charity is the bond of peace. What does that word bond mean? Well, it's a very interesting Greek word. It's the word syndesmos. And syndesmos is like a ligament. Now, between there and there, right here around my knees, there are ligaments. All over my body, there are ligaments that cause everything to function perfectly. If my ligaments are cut, I'm not just going to be in pain, I will not be able to function with that part of my body. And any part of my body that's not functional, the Word of God is saying, check whether love is at play there. Because if love is not at play there, then there's a disjointment. Everything may be perfect, but the ligaments hold things together. And love is the one thing that holds us all together. It's that gives full control, binds. Things together for us. My ligaments are necessary for my body. I have muscles. I have nerves. I have blood corpuscles. I have organs in my body. But without ligaments, doesn't matter how, you know, pumped you are. You might be a massive guy with six-pack and everything, but ligaments give you movement, give you control. You need that. And love is that particular thing that we need. We can have everything, but if we don't have love, we don't have movement. Gotta have that. And God challenges us right here in this passage. Let me wrap up with verse 15. It says, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Oh, that's interesting. Because the Bible also tells us about the bond of peace. Be united. And so he states here after stating love, he tells us about peace. So we were heading home from the airport. We had an individual that was driving us, happens to have come from Africa, from Ethiopia, or rather Eritrea. And as we're talking, asked, how do you say hi or whatever? He said, salam. Salam, oh, interesting. Salam is similar to shalom. He said, you say salam. And he gave us some other words. I don't remember the other words, but the easiest is salam. So he started to say something about salam. He says, salam means peace. Okay, that makes sense. And then he said, salam means, can I give you a helping hand? What? Wow. This is part of the word shalom that I had not clued into. I'm in this vehicle, and I said to this man, I said, oh, I just learned something very important today. Peace is about giving a helping hand. Well, let that grace of giving a helping hand as a ligament take rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called. This is what you've been called to, in one body. And be ye what? Thankful. Be ye thankful. Let the irene, as a word for peace in the Greek, irene. Same connection with shalom, shalim, salam, all of those words in the Old Testament. It says, let it rule in your heart. Let it have reign in your heart. The peace of God. This nothing missing, nothing broken, let it rule in your heart. This prosperity, let it rule in your heart. This helping hand, let it rule in your heart. See, that's what you've been called to do in one body. The problem many times is that we are more concerned about our own issues than we forget about the issues of other people. How can I be of help to my fellow saint, to my brother, to my sister? What can I do to make life easier for the next person? How many problems can I move out of the way so that you don't have to struggle with it, deal with it? Those are real issues. It's living life beyond me to be a ligament that attaches to somebody else and making life sensible and reasonable. Now, that's where we'll stop today, and we'll take it up from there. I trust that we've heard something today that will help us continue our pilgrimage of faith, in continuing faith and in strength. I thank God for everyone that God has given to us in this house that are so faithful and generous with their time and in making things happen. You know, I was watching a Call to Victory broadcast this morning, and I was so impressed at the production, and I had to send a text message right away to the person who did it. You know, they put their heart to it. Whatever it is that they did with that production wasn't just thrown together. You know, people do stuff and they just throw things together, and you know it was all thrown together. There was no engagement, involvement, personal pride about it. Just put something together. But it took time to do it. I received a video for missions Sunday, and I could see it. This one's just thrown together. Somebody put thought to this. Well, those are ligaments. Everything that we do, when we give our offering, you know, we just don't just throw something in there. We want to be purposeful. We want to be intentional. I want to be a blessing. Yeah, I got my issues. And they got their issues. But this is the house of the Lord. We're going to do our best to see that the work of God continues. That's what makes life as believers powerful and effective. I thank God for everyone that God has given to us that has taken on their responsibilities seriously to make certain that all is well. It's a sacrifice. Well, may God bless your sacrifices in faith. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for the wonderful experience that we have in you, that you've not left us comfortless, but have provided a helper. We receive the help of the Holy Spirit, and we look to you, our author and finisher. For your faith is resilient in us. It's resonating day in, day out. And we thank you, Lord, that we can live life purposefully in a way that honors you. Let every thought we think, every action we take, every direction we move in, bring glory to you. May our lives testify of your goodness. And may the bond, the ligament of love and peace, cause us to be bound together as one people under your lordship. Heal the sick, the oppressed, the impoverished. Wherever there is a need today, we speak your name. Over the lives of those that need a touch from you. Let arrogance and pride and foolishness of heart be eradicated from every aspect of our lives. Let our pursuit always be to glorify you. In Jesus' mighty name, we call it so done. Amen and amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, bless you. Thank God for every one of you. At this time, let us honor God with our giving.